What is up, YouTube? Welcome back to another video. My name is Isaiah Rivera. I have a 50.5-inch vertical world record. This is Austin Burke, and he has an alleged 47-inch
vertical. We have no idea anymore.
47-inch vertical off one, and then another alleged 44 or 45-inch vertical off 2 feet.
I do have an official 46 off one.
Official 46. Official. But I've seen him jump higher.
That's like, I just don't know anymore.
We both...
43.5 up to.
There we go. Those are the official numbers.
Alleged.
We both jump pretty high, and today we are going to reveal the secret of jumping this high. But before we learn about the secret, I want to give a big shout out to our sponsors over at THPStrength.com. They are the premier vertical jump coaching on the planet.
Pretty good.
They've trained multiple elite athletes to get even better and even more average athlete to become elite. Mm-hmm. So if you're interested in jumping higher and getting rid of knee pain and really any injury that's out there, they're pretty good at it. Go to THPStrength.com to sign up.
You know what we should do?
What?
We should give them a discount. How's a 10%? You know what? 20% off to the first 10 athletes who sign up with the code PODCAST. Right now, go to THPStrength.com and the first...
20%. Yeah. That's crazy.
First 10 athletes who sign up using the code PODCAST will get 20% off their first month. So if you're weary, now is the time to try it. But do it fast because there's a lot of viewers.
All right, cool.
Code PODCAST.
Let's do it.
PODCAST.
Remember, only the first 10 people.
Only first 10.
So act now.
I hope they don't kill
us. Pause this video, go to THPStrength.com and sign up now.
Dude, I hope the sponsors don't drop us for this. This is crazy.
Yeah, they might. They might. Whew. We might get fired.
No, I hope not.
All right, well, without further ado, let's officially introduce a topic, and it is going to be the truth about jumping higher. Mm-hmm. And the truth about jumping higher is that as you get better at it, as you start jumping higher and higher and higher and become more advanced, it becomes way easier to detrain.
Absolutely.
If you don't know what detraining means, it means that you basically lose the adaptations that you've gained. That the specific adaptations we're talking about in this case is vertical jump height. It's the entire reason we train, right? It's to jump higher. If you keep the same training load, let's say you have a 24-inch vertical, and then you train all the way up. Let's say you're doing 3 sets of 5 back squat, and you get all the way to where you have a 30-inch vertical doing that 3 sets of 5. If you keep doing those 3 sets of 5, you're not gonna always have a 30-inch vertical. Eventually, you're gonna get to a point where you reach that peak, and then you're gonna slowly decrease and decrease and decrease. So the sad reality, the truth about jumping high, is that the training needs to get harder just to even maintain your vertical. And then if you wanna keep jumping higher and higher, you need to keep training harder and harder and harder. And what is the downside of that? Is it can become very mentally challenging, very mentally taxing to sustain that. So having said all that, now that you know kind of the science behind why that happens, I guess we'll start with you, Austin. What are some challenges that you've had in sustaining that level of performance? Obviously, we've all gone through ups and downs in training. Mm-hmm. Why do those happen for you? And I guess what are the obstacles that you face in getting there?
I think understanding the detraining that you just explained. 2022 was my best year ever of dunking. I trained very hard leading up to it in 2021. And then 2022, I was jumping my highest. But I was so afraid to overtrain and jump bad, every session, that I just maintained the full year. And then when I got injured...
What do you mean by maintaining? Like, what exactly were you doing?
I was jumping once a week. I was, barely doing anything in the weight room, maybe pushing 50, 60% on squats, nothing too crazy, slow strength. My weight room sessions were not hard at all. And that worked at maintaining throughout the full year. But when I injured my meniscus in December, when I finally came back, doing what I was doing to maintain didn't work, and it was extremely frustrating. I couldn't even jump relatively close to what I was jumping the year before. In the past year, I spent trying to replicate everything I did in 2022, which obviously did not work because I was just in a state of constant, depletion. I was always detrained.
So you're doing, it's a very common mistake that guys make is, you jumped your highest in 2022,
yeah,
and you attributed that to the training that you yes. were doing in 2022. But effects of training are delayed. So when you're doing a training cycle, that training cycle isn't going to cause the vertical jump gains you see later that week or that month. The reason you see adaptations and the results of training is from the training that you were doing 2, 3, 6 months before. And then you actualize those gains with later training cycles. So Austin was jumping his highest, attributing that to the training he was currently doing, which is a very common error. And then when he tried to replicate it this last year, you couldn't get to that level, right? And we had a lot of conversations where you were depressed.
I was
so depressed. Thought you were washed up.
I thought I was done. And it wasn't until we started really increasing the intensity of my training is when I started hitting those 45, 46 inch numbers again off one foot.
And it's the hardest you've ever trained, right?
100%.
Like right now.
100%.
Yeah. And that's, yeah, it basically lines up with what the research shows, and it's that the training has to continue getting harder. But the downside to that is there's a lot of negative psychological effects with that if you have the wrong mindset. Mm-hmm. I know for me, I had to make a shift from being very goal-oriented to being very process-oriented because the training is freaking hard. Like, even today, we're going to do this podcast. We're doing our ISOs right now, and then we're going to have to go and destroy ourselves in the weight room like we've been doing in the last month.
Yeah. 2-hour sessions.
And the horrible part is that we're going to do that just to jump low on Friday, right? Because we're fatigued. So it's ridiculous amounts of training for marginal results in the short term, sometimes worse results in the short term. And it's really just investing. Like, we're investing into the future, which for us, since we're periodizing training, is to jump high in the summertime. So right now, we're busting our asses in the weight room so that we can have a glorious summer of jumping high, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, the truth about jumping high is that it is very mentally taxing. It's not glorious. A lot of times 100%. You see the highlights on Instagram, but the highlights are really just 5 to 10% of the actual sessions. Most of the sessions, very fatigued, you're jumping really low. You're going into the weight room sessions not feeling like working out. So is there anything that has like helped you? I have things that I've done, but is there anything that has helped you to stay consistent? You know, to not get demotivated?
I definitely think switching from goal oriented to process oriented has helped. Just because in 2022, my goal was to jump to my highest every week, hit new dunks, and post content on Instagram. Whereas now, I'm happy if I get one session. I'm just focused on getting better every single day. Jump training and dunk training, once you hit that elite level, is a full-time job. You got to watch every little thing, what you eat, how you're sleeping. So I kind of just, it's just about being process-oriented rather than making sure I jump every week for my ego.
Yeah.
Which is hard because, everyone thinks I'm washed up every other week, but it's cool.
Something that has helped me stay process-oriented, because it's easier said than done, right? Like, stay focused on the process and don't care about the goals. A mental switch that allowed me to do that is I made the work the goal. So I didn't make the goal. So right now, my ultimate goal at the very moment is 51 inch vertical. It's always to jump higher. But that sets the path. And then what I do is I make a mental switch, a mental flip, and I make the work the goal. The work in our case is showing up and doing the workout that is written on my app, on my training app. And I'm happy if I just show up and do the workout, right? Mm-hmm. And hit the numbers that are supposed to be hit. When it's dunk session day, I don't make the goal to, hit a new dunk or hit a certain vertical. No, I just make dunking the goal, like the actual jumps. Make sure I'm jumping max effort. That's it. And that I don't overjump. Those are essentially my two goals. Go in there, jump as hard as I can. The result of it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if I'm dunking, if I stick my elbow in the rim or not, whatever. I just make sure the goal is max effort and that I don't overjump and I'm not jumping through pain. As long as those three things get done and as long as I made the goal of showing up and training every day, eventually you will jump higher and reach that ulterior goal. But make the work the goal, and you will stay consistent. You will stay disciplined, especially if you do it consistently enough to where a habit is built. That's one thing that has helped me a lot. Another one's meditation. Mm-hmm. Meditation has helped a ton, which, by the way, For the guys that are currently on THP, and if you're not on THP, this might be an incentive for you to get on there. I actually have a mental training guide of everything I did, how I meditate, what books I read that allowed me to have a good mindset of being process-oriented and how to build good habits, how to stay disciplined, how to deal with bad jumping days, how to deal with injuries, all those things. I have an exact process for each of those things. But meditation, huge, huge, huge role in building those, that mental fortitude for it.
Yeah. I definitely think, like, you can see a shift in my training just from 2023 to now, going from goal to process. Because last year I essentially wasted a whole year of me, you know, trying just to have one good session. Like, it was ridiculous. The other thing too is that helped is definitely being around Isaiah, him moving back and then switching that mindset. I just kind of copy everything he does. He is literally the best in the world. And I just, whatever, you know, with the training sessions or his mindset on certain things, I just try to emulate that to the best of my ability. It saves a lot of effort because I can just look, be like, all right, what is the best doing who lives 4 minutes from me that I spend most of my time with? And let's copy that. And it's really everything he says.
Yeah. And that's huge. Like, being part of a community is huge because, like, one of us might get demotivated, but me or Austin or John, we're going to hold each other accountable to to showing up and getting the workout in. And yet another THP plug is you get a community when you sign up for THP, and then you also get access to me, like literally direct access to me where you can talk to me about this type of thing. But yeah, community's freaking huge. 100%. Because at the end of the day, like, we're social creatures. Humans are social creatures. And
Socrates.
A lot of the motivation for anything is because of how you're perceived by people.
100%.
You know what I mean? Like, it is very ego-driven to think that way, but people can lie as much as they want. Everybody's driven by having affirmation from their peers, from family, from friends, and that type of thing. And if you surround yourself with people that are in that community, like, it's going to motivate you. It's going to keep you motivated in training. So if you're not in the dunk community, I urge you to do it. You know, post on Instagram, DM people that are around the same skill level, because that's the most motivating thing you can do, especially early on.
Yeah.
I found CJ and Steven early on, Nico Christie, guys that were, like, around the same level as me. Got into a group chat, you know, we would send each other our training, what dunks I'm trying to hit. When I would lower him, I would send him my dunks. I was really competitive too. Like, I was always trying to, like, catch CJ, in terms of what dunks we could hit. You have people to compare weight room numbers with. So putting yourself in a community is going to be huge as far as keeping yourself motivated. And it's just fun.
It's a lot more forgiving now than it was when we started, because it was so clicky. I feel like in 2018,
yeah,
like everyone was just like, if you weren't in the core group, it was hard to infiltrate. But now everything's very open. Everyone,
and it's so much bigger too now than it used to be. Like, I used to know everybody in the dunk community. Like, now, like, I don't know most dunkers out there. I'll find, like, this just random freaks that can jump high, and I'm like, wow, how did I not know this person? But I think that's a pretty good overview.
I mean, the only other thing would be injuries.
Ooh.
Like, just new injuries popping up as we train more and more. Because we were just talking about this.
That's another truth. The truth behind jumping high is injuries are going to pop up. Mm. That is an inevitability of of jumping high. It's like, I always like to give the example, it's like a high-performance car, like a Formula One race car or a car that you tune to go faster. When you push the limits of human performance, issues will pop up. You're going to push all the tissues in your body, your ligaments, your tendons, your bones, your muscles. You're going to push them to their limits. And when you push anything to their limits, things will break. Things will give. So I think one is accept the fact that injuries are going to happen. One of John's mentors has this saying that I love. Injuries don't go away, they just move around, right? So when I got the original problem I had was tendinopathy, knee tendinopathy. When I took care of that issue and got super healthy, guess what started happening? I started producing way higher peak forces, and then boom, my muscles started freaking tearing. So then I had to address that in the weight room. And then I got so strong in the weight room that I started having back issues. So then I had to address that issue. And then Then I was super healthy, started jumping off vert a lot and going opposite plant and all this stuff. And then PFP popped up and then took care of that issue. And then an ankle issue might happen because then now you're starting to bring in more speed into a jump and your ankles aren't used to all that force going through them. So then you take care of that. And then the cycle just goes on and on and on and on. And it's not going to stop. Mm-hmm. A new injury is always going to pop up. So how do you handle that? Because injuries get you depressed. So how, like, what do you do? One, first, the understanding that it's going to happen. Don't get mad at it. Mm-hmm. It's just something. And just
adapt.
Yeah, just notice it. Notice it appearing and don't react emotionally to it. And then educate yourself. So Alex Ramosi says this a lot. He says anytime you're depressed is because you feel like you have a lack of options. Mm. Right? If you're anxious, is you get overwhelmed by all the options. Depression comes from not having a path, not knowing what to do next. And the way you overcome that is by educating yourself. All right? So educate yourself about the injury from a reputable source. Cough, cough, THP, by the way. We know about every jump-related
20%
injury.
Off first month podcast, podcast.
But educate yourself. Educate yourself about the injury. Follow the research. Don't follow the random Instagram page that says that they can help you out. Follow the research about the specific injury that you're dealing with, and then start taking steps towards getting better with that injury. And what's really cool, like with mental health, is if you're making progress, doesn't matter how messed up you are, like you're gonna be feeling good.
Yeah.
Like take an ACL tear. Let's say you were to go through an ACL tear. You know, it's gonna be really depressing initially, but as soon as you start going through the rehab process and you see results, it's like your baseline happiness will already be increased compared to like if you're completely healthy and you have a bad session, you're depressed. That depression from that is gonna be a lower level of sadness than when you're in the middle of rehab and you see progress. Yeah, like you're gonna be happier. Because it's all relative. Like it's all relative to what your previous day was at. So just understand there's gonna be fluctuations in your emotions and stuff like that. And then just inform yourself and always be making steps towards recovering in the injury. And always ask yourself, is what I'm doing today gonna make me feel better or worse tomorrow in terms of pain?
That's good.
Answer that question correctly and you'll be
I think a good thing too is getting rid of the timeline. Whatever. Unless you have an event, get rid of that internal...
Preach!
Yeah, timeline. Like, you don't need to be healthy by June 1st for absolutely no reason. You don't want to give yourself 3 months for a knee injury. Just
that season that you're in the middle in high school, guess what? You're going to be... In 5 years, you're not going to care.
Yeah, literally. Just do it. Just do the go through the process, and it'll be a lot quicker than if you keep evading it.
Yeah, so if you have an injury and you have a tournament in 2 weekends, just skip the tournament. It's not going to matter. I remember there was games where I felt like I had to be ready for in high school.
Jordan flu game type of thing.
Yeah. Well, like I had like knee pain and I was like, I gotta play in this game. Doesn't freaking matter. Right now I'm trying to test my vertical and all that stuff. And it's like funny how important I used to think certain dunk events, how important I thought they were. And I could have just skipped them, ended up healthier, made more progress a lot more quickly. So
100%.
Get rid of the timeline. Doesn't matter. I don't care how important you think whatever you have is about to be. It's not important in the grand scheme of it all. So that is actually amazing advice from Austin. Just get rid of those timelines.
Is that John?
John's here.
Wow.
It's a good idea doing the podcast. Yeah,
I think that was good.
All right, cool. That's pretty much it, everybody.
What is that? The sponsors are back.
What are they saying?
They're saying... Sign up at thbstrength.com, and for 20% off your first month, use the code podcast. It's only for 10 people, so if you made it this far, there's a chance there's still spots.
Yeah, but not for long.
Nope.
And then if you are on YouTube, like the video, and if you're on a podcast platform, please give us 5 stars. It'll push it out to more people, and it'll incentivize us to keep making this, because when we get views on these, it's very motivating to keep keep doing it. So, and then like always, leave a comment. We'll get back to it. As soon as we can, and I'll catch you guys in the next podcast episode. Yep. Peace out.